this by hand presence. Amen. Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we commence our morning session. Let's all rise up and sing a hymn, 233. God, let's kneel down and pray together and ask God to guide this morning services. Let's kneel down and pray together. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, we continue to study the book of Galatians. So, yesterday we have studied one another. As a messenger of God, we need to be able to defend the gospel of God. So mainly we just starting together in chapter 3 how Paul used a personal argument to argue against those who want to follow law. And this argument is to prove that every single one of them are justified by faith through our Lord Jesus Christ. That not only he used personal argument, but also he used a scriptural argument. This means he quoted from the scripture in the Old Testament, that even though they live in the Old Testament, but they still need to have faith to be able to be safe and to please God. And the third thing that he used is practical argument. This means between brothers and sisters, the reason they can call brother and sister because of the practical aspect of the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing, he used sentimental argument. This means he wants to get into their emotion, to let them feel or think for themselves why what they believe is true and why when they are justified by faith is true. And then the last thing he used is allegorical argument. This means just like a parable they've been used in the Old Testament and for the New Testament, when they compare and contrast, then to realize that everything has to do with faith and everything has to do with promise. So we finish this and then we led into the fifth session. This should be the fourth session, and this should be the liberty that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ as a messenger of God. So let's turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. chapter 5, verse 1. There's one thing about the book Galatians, if we read it and study it, it seems like it's true. It's like a mini book of Romans, right? It also has to do with justification by faith, has to do with the law, not keep the law, but come to be justified by Jesus Christ. So it's quite difficult sometimes to be able to apply to our daily lives. But, you know, we'll try our best to do so. So in chapter 5, verse 1, it says here, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not entangle again with the yoke of bondage." The reason why a messenger of God needs to understand this concept, because when we serve God, we have the freedom to serve Him with a free willing. Right? Free willing. So this means when we do things for God, not because someone else tells us to do this, and because we are in bondage to serve God, but rather we serve Him with a free willing heart. If we do not serve God with a free willing heart, then when we go out and preach the message of God, and then of course we will also give bondage to the other people. This concept has already been taught in the Old Testament. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 21. The book of Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, verse 2. Exodus 21, verse 2. "If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing." Verse 5. "But if the servant plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free.'" Verse 6. "Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." So in chapter 20, God have gave the chosen people the commandment, the Ten Commandments. Then in chapter 21, this is the time that God gave them the law concerning servants. He said in verse 2, "If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years, and in the seventh he shall go out free and pay nothing." So this means after the servant has fulfilled the 6 years, he can go out free and pay nothing. But in verse 5, "But if the servant plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free.'" And then verse 6, "Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost. And his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." So even though the servant has the freedom to go out free, but because he loved his master, he loved his wife, and he loved his children, so during this time they had to make a covenant with his master by going to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear. And this is a sign that the servant will freely serve the master forever. So for us, it's very important. The reason we come here today and yesterday, not because we are forced to be here, but rather we come here to serve the true and living God with a free will offering. If you don't have this kind of attitude, and then it's very difficult for us to last until the end. If we do things because if we do things because it's such a burden to us, then of course, why would we have the strength to continue to do it day by day? And this is also the attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ. When our Lord Jesus Christ come here, not because he was forced to come here, but he come here because of his love for every single one of us. So the same thing. When we are serving God, make sure the main thing that motivates us, the thing that compels us, is the love of God. It's the love of God. If we do not understand this, and then we do not understand the freedom that we have to do whatever we want to do. But even though we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do, but we come here to serve God because of our love for Him. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to the book of Psalm chapter 40. The book of Psalm chapter 40. The book of Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 to verse 8. Psalm chapter 40, verse 6 to verse 8. "Sacrifice and offering you do not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you do not require." Verse 7. "Then I say, 'Behold, I come in the scroll of the book that is written of me.'" Verse 8. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. This is the psalm of King David. King David prophesies about the coming Messiah. And this coming Messiah, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ truly knows the heart of the Father. So that's why he said in verse 6, sacrifice and offering you do not desire. And then he said, burnt offering and sin offering you do not require. But he said, my ears you have opened. This term that my ears have opened is exactly like we have read in Exodus chapter 21. So this means our Lord Jesus Christ already knew that the heart of the Father, the heart of the Father, is not how much we do for him, but how we do for him. What is our motive to do his will? So for us, like just like in the book of Galatians, as a messenger of God, if you do not understand the freedom that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ to do whatever we want to do, that is mean when we love brothers and sisters, we love them not because we are forced to love them, but the love of God compels us to love one another. There's many things. So let's go back to the book of Galatians. So this concept is very important for us as a messenger of God, to serve God with a free and willing heart. And only then that this servitude will reach all the way to the Heavenly Father, because we do it with love. So that's why, and if you go back to chapter 5, verse 1 to verse 6, verse 1, stand fast therefore in liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So even though we are servant of God, even though we are messenger of God, but we are free. We are free right through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why during this time, the verse 1 to verse 5, this is the liberty of circumcision. But maybe we can say to ourselves, what circumcision have to do with us nowadays? Because during that time, they had problem with circumcision or uncircumcision. So, but remember, look at in verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. So this means for us, when we are serving God, do not let our liberty in Christ to hinder us from doing the things that we want to do. This means when we are serving God, we have to understand we serve Him not because we're looking for the reward that's ahead of us. Of course, this is one of the motives, but our main goal, because we serve God because we love Him. We do it willfully. We do it because of our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ working through us. So this is very important. If we have this kind of liberty and understand this kind of liberty, then when we serve God, our servitude, we become like a sweet smelling aroma. Be very beautiful, very beautiful. Then from verse 7 to verse 15, verse 7 to verse 6, 15. Verse 7 says, you ran well, who hinder you from obeying the truth? Verse 8. This persuasion does not come from him who called you. Verse 9. Say a little leaven a whole lump. Verse 10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind. But he who trouble you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. Verse 12. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. You can see in verse 13, Paul mentioned again the word liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Verse 4. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even if this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So this is the liberty for us to fulfill the law. And how do we fulfill the law? It's by loving one another, by serving one another with love. Because of all the commandments, it can fulfill by one thing. That is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So this is very important, the liberty that we have. Maybe sometimes we think when we come to church, when we serve one another, the reason we do this, why? Because we are forced to do it. But the Bible did not mention that. The Bible tells us this is the liberty that we can love one another. We can love one another. So this means when we love one another, we don't want anything back. This is the freedom that we have. People in the world, for example, if you love this person, this means you expect something in return. And if we think like this, and then of course, this kind of love is not a liberty. It's not a freedom that we have. If we have to love someone, then we need to get something back. Actually, it becomes a burden. It becomes a burden. But in Christ, it's not like this. That's why the Bible teaches, when it comes to money, for example. If you want to loan something to a person, or if you want to loan money to a person, in your heart, you already expect not to get it back. This is the freedom of loving one another. If we loan money to a person, of course, if we always thinking, when are they going to give it back to me? When are they going to give it back to me? And this is not liberty of love. That's why for us. But if we cannot loan the money and expect it to give that person the money, and then we should not do it. Why? Because we will have a lot of problems. A lot of problems. So that's why as members, the best thing is not to borrow money from one another, right? Not to borrow money from one another. But if someone's in need, you give them for free. You give it to them. But if you cannot do that, you should not do it. Why? Because this is the liberty of love for one another. And if you think about this, it's so wonderful. Right? It's so wonderful. Just like, you know, right now, if you think about all the candidates for presidency. So all those people who support you know, different parties, actually, those person who become the president, they need to be paid. Right? Whatever they have helped them with, on the end, they have to help them back when they become a president. Right? And this is not true liberty of love. How can you feel like that if the love should be free toward one another? And this is the liberty for us to have toward one another. And then in verse 16, chapter 5, verse 16, until verse 26, and verse 16 is say, and I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So for us, this is the third liberty. The liberty to be led by the Holy Spirit. And maybe sometimes we say to ourselves, what's that going to do with us? Right? What is so important? What is that liberty of freedom to be led by the Holy Spirit? If we understand other religion, especially Asian religion, right? Buddhism, Taoism, Hinduism, all those things. Actually, we do not have the liberty, right, to be led by the Holy Spirit. But rather, most of those people who worship idols, they are controlled by the evil spirit. They are controlled by the evil spirit. So this means when they do things, the evil spirit forced them to do it. But for us, no. Right? If you don't want to pray, the Holy Spirit not going to, you know, force us to come here and pray. This is our liberty. Right? If we don't want to read the Bible, the Holy Spirit not going to pull you there to read the Bible. If we don't want to come to church, the Holy Spirit not going to pull us to come to church. But, of course, as we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. Sometimes when we are weak in prayer, of course the Holy Spirit will move us. Go and pray, it's good for you. And we don't want to read, the Holy Spirit will move us. Pray, you know, read the Word of God so we can have strength. So it is very different than being controlled by the Spirit. And this is the freedom. I remember when I was working as a counselor, of course I saw many people who worship idols. And many of them, even though they feel that they have the freedom to worship the idol, but on the end, actually they have no freedom at all. For example, this one lady, one time she went to a cemetery, and for some reason she sped on one of the tombstones by accident. So that day when she came back and she went to sleep that night, then that evil spirit came, right, and spoke to her and said to her that you have done evil thing. You have sped on my grave. So you have to pay for what you have done. So during this time, of course, that lady, she was so scared. And the lady asked the evil spirit, what do you, you know, what can I do, you know, to repay for what I have done? Then, of course, the evil spirit tell her, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. So the lady, she did exactly what the evil spirit tell her to do. And then, of course, only then that the evil spirit did not come to bother her again. So this is not the freedom that they worship in idols. Just like one of my clients, during this every single night, he always see evil things outside when he's walking. See evil things. Right? Because he doesn't, even though he feels he has a freedom to worship all these idols, but actually is not the freedom. The evil spirit pretty much control them and force them to do the things that they want to do. So for us in Christ it's very different. This is the freedom for us to be able, right, to be led by the Holy Spirit, so we can walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Because of this, it's very wonderful for us as a messenger of God to serve God. We have choices. If we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, we pray more. If not, then of course, if we don't want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't pray. It's our choice. Right? It's our choice. But at the same time, we are not controlled by what we believe, because it's the freedom that God given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. But if we not filled with the Spirit of God, and then on the contrary, we be filled with the flesh, with our fleshly things. So if we are filled with the fleshly things, then we are controlled by it. Because this fleshly thing is according to Satan's work. That's why we think a person who addicted to alcohol, who addicted to drugs, who addicted to gambling, even people addicted to television, do they really have the freedom to do what they want to do? No. This is not true freedom. It's not true freedom. So for us, it's a great blessing for us as a messenger of God, have the freedom to be led by the Holy Spirit, to live by, you know, to live by the Holy Spirit. This is a wonderful thing for us. Then let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3. For if anyone think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceive himself. Verse 4. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. Verse 6. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So this fourth freedom is the freedom to be able to bear a burden for one another, and also to be a burden for ourselves. And these are all the freedom too. That's why when we share, maybe many of us, we do not want to have a title, right? That, you know, we are so-and-so. And these are choice, these are freedom. But if you have that title, and then of course you have to do work, and maybe this work will give you a burden, but it's also the freedom that we have. If you want to be a council member, we can be a council member. If not, it's also okay. This is the freedom we have. So that's why Paul encouraged the member in Galatia in verse 2, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. So we have this kind of freedom. We have the freedom to bear one another's burden. This is to fulfill the law of Christ. Then also in verse 5, for each one shall bear his own load. Right? For each one shall bear his own load. So this means we also have the freedom to do what we want to do. If we want to be a burden for one another, it's good. If we do not want it, it's okay. Not that it's okay, but it's not something, you know, that we are forced to do. And the same thing for us. We want to serve God, it's good. But we don't want to serve God, it's also, nobody will force us. This is the freedom we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a messenger of God, if we understand these four freedoms that we have, then when we serve Him, and then everything will become a sweet smell and aroma. But if we do not understand the freedom we have, then when we feel that we're forced to love one another, we are forced to carry burden for one another, and if we feel always forcing, then of course our servitude become a burden. And if we become a burden, then our servitude cannot reach all the way to heaven. So this is the messenger of God. And what else is the messenger of God? Let's read verse 7. Verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7. Sorry, chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. You ran well, who hinder you from obeying the truth? So in verse 7, if we are truly a messenger of God, we should not hinder other people, just like these four brethren. These four brethren, even though these brethren, they say, you ran well, but who hinder you from obeying the truth? So Paul used an example. Maybe this like done, you know, during a race. So even though you're running so good, and all of a sudden someone just came, you know, and hinder you. This means they push you or they, you know, pull you back. So because of this, you cannot obey the truth. This means you, because of this, you cannot follow the rule that you're supposed to run the race. Just like last night, we were reminiscing about how wonderful it was during the minister workshop. Because during the minister workshop, every free time we have, we go out and play soccer with, you know, all the ministers and stuff like that. So I remember one time, Brother Raymond was playing soccer with us, and also Pastor Cole, right? So Pastor Cole was like, we kicked the soccer, and all of a sudden Pastor Cole was running toward the soccer ball. And all of a sudden Brother Raymond came and just like pushed him, right? And Pastor Cole just tumbled, right, on the ground. So because of this, of course, it's very difficult for Pastor Cole to continue to run toward the ball, right? So the same concept here. For us, if we are the messenger of God, we have the thing, what do we do to hinder our fellow brethren? What do we do? Sometimes we, you know, when we're serving God, not too often we reflect on ourselves. But we have to reflect on ourselves, because sometimes we are the one that hinder the growth of the church. We are the one that hinder the brothers and sisters not come to church. And if we are doing this, and then it become a big problem for us. Why? Because in the eyes of God, right? In the eyes of God, those who hinder, right? Those who hinder a person. Let's read verse 10. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, then you will have no other mind, but he who trouble you shall be his judgment, whoever he is. So during that time, Paul encouraged them, yes, these people who hinder you, stopping you from finishing the race. But if those who hinder you on the end day, they will bear their judgment. Right? They will bear their judgment. So Paul said, whoever he is, it doesn't matter who he is. If he hinder you, cause you to stumble, then he will bear the judgment on the end days. So for us, we must think about this as a messenger of God, as a servant of God. Do we hinder other people? If we hinder other people on the end day, we have to bear our own judgment. Bear our own judgment. Because this is also the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? The teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. The book of Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 verse 1. Then he said to his disciple, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they have come. Verse 2. It would be better for him if a millstone were hang around his neck, and he were thrown into the sea, that they should offend one of these little ones. So our Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples during that time, make sure that the offenses should not come. But woe to a person if the offenses come through them. And then in verse 2 he said, it's better for him if a millstone were hang around his neck, and he were thrown into the sea, that he should not offend one of these little ones. So it's very serious. That's why when we teach IE to the younger generation, we have to take heed and be very careful. Do not take it very lightly, because this is the word from our Lord Jesus Christ. If we offend, if we teach falsely the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ, then for sure on the end day, we'll receive great judgment. We receive great judgment. So that's why when we teach a young generation, we cannot take it lightly. We always need to prepare and pray to God to guide us. I pray to God to guide us. If we don't do this, then of course, we have to bear the consequences. Bear the consequences. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 17. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 17. Verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. So for us, we already know that teaching false doctrine, or teaching the things that is not according to God's will lead a person, right? Will lead a person the wrong way. If we lead a person the wrong way, this is the error of a wickedness. So for us, make sure you have to stay away from making this kind of error. Why did God not truly delight in wrong teaching, or when we teach the things is not, you know, according to God's will? Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 9. A little leaven leavened the whole lump. This is why it's important. Right? Last night, a bunch of us were telling different stories. But, you know, the brother mentioned that this story is not, you know, from the beginning what he told until now, something's always, you know, the story that's now than before is so different. Right? But nevertheless, many people have spread this story all over the place. So that's why when we're teaching things that is not according to God's will, and then it's like a little leaven, and this leaven will leaven the whole lump. So make sure we are not the one that hinder people from, you know, running their race. And we're not the one that cause, you know, that a leaven to cause, you know, other members, right, to be you know, to be affected by this this leaven. So that is the thing that we have to be careful about. And then, and verse 10, chapter 5, verse 12. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Right? Would cut themselves off. So during that time, Paul understands that those who preach heresy, or those who preach, you know, the things that are not according to God's will, he wished that those who trouble them, right, that do this, will cut themselves off. Why, if they cut themselves off, they are better than continue to teach the false doctrine to the fellow brethren. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? We also need to think about this. If in church we are truly do not believe the teaching of true Jew church, then we should withdraw ourselves from continuing to teach a younger generation, continue to do holy work. It's very important. Why? Because if we do not believe what we preach or what we teach, why we continue to teach it? But if we do not believe and we continue to teach, we will teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. Then judgment will come upon us. So we must be very careful. That's why any one of you feel that really this church is not the true church of God, and you do not truly believe that baptism, receiving Holy Spirit, Holy Communion, foot washing is part for us to receive salvation, then you should cease from doing things in church. Because when you continue to do it, you will speak contrary to the Bible, and then the judgment will come upon us. We have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Okay. But what is a way that we can do? What is a way that we can do to not to hinder people? Not to hinder people. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This is one way that we can do and not to hinder other people who's running the race with us. The first thing we have to understand that we have to be an example of all the believers, right? To the believers. Just like Timothy, the time, even though he was young, but Paul tell him, even though you are young, you cannot hinder the people. If you hinder the people, then of course, he will cause problems. But rather, be an example, right? To the believers. This, he did not say to him, be an example to the young believers, old believers, but all believers. So for us as a younger generation, we also need to have this focus in our mind. Sometimes, indirectly, we hindered older people,
right,
to continue their holy work. Why? Because sometimes, as younger generation, we talk a lot, but the action is very little. Of course, we have many great ideas. We want to do this, we want to do that. But on the end, the old generation end up doing it. So what does this mean? If we do this, mean we are hindering the old generation to think about us, that, you know, we always talk, but no action. So it's things many times that happen in different churches. That's why for us, whatever we can do, we must do it. Whatever we say, we come with, we must go ahead and do it ourselves. But we continue to talk and come with many great ideas, great plan, and then the old people end up doing it, and then what's the point? What's the point? If we do this, we are hindering the old people from truly having faith in us and truly, you know, have the confidence to pass the baton to us. So that's why we have to be an example. We have to be an example. For example, if you think about Isaac, right? Isaac and Abraham. Even though Isaac was a very young person. Actually, let's go to that. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Start from verse 6. Genesis 2, verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father," and he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. So between verse 6 and verse 8, on the end of verse 6 it says, "And the two of them went together." And then verse 8, "So the two of them went together." So between this, you can see, right, this word, two of them went together. But within these two verses is a beautiful picture between a younger generation and an older generation, right, seeing one another, talking to one another to fulfill the commission of God. Because during that time, God wanted Abraham to go to Moriah and sacrifice Isaac, his only son, his beloved son. So this means, if without Isaac, Abraham cannot fulfill the commission that God have given to him. And Isaac without Abraham, he also, right, cannot understand the God that Abraham worshipped, the faithful God that Abraham worshipped. But you can see, why was Isaac is such a faithful person, also an example of his father? So verse 6 says, "So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid on Isaac his son." So during the time, there's only two servants go with Abraham. But when Abraham took the wood and put on Isaac, did Isaac say anything? No. Isaac did not say anything. Isaac could have said, "Father, you have two servants here. Why just give the wood to the servant? Right? And don't put on my back." But he did not say this. So because of this, he set a great example. And then if we continue on, verse 13. "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram." Right? Because during this time already, in verse 10, Abraham stretched out his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And why was Abraham be able, right, to take a knife and about to slay his son? Because of Isaac's obedience. Because Isaac showed an example. Right? In verse 9, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar." So during that time, if Isaac does not want to be bound, and then Abraham cannot put him on the altar. If Abraham cannot put Isaac on the altar, this means he cannot accomplish the task that God has given to him. So for us, as a younger generation, we need to learn obedience. We need to learn obedience. And we need to be example for the younger generation and also for the old generation. It's never too late. And this is truly a messenger of God. To be an example to all believers. to do in our part, to do what we need to do to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And also, let's go back to 2 Timothy. How can we avoid from becoming a hindrance or hinder other believers? That's 1 Timothy chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 16. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. This is also another important example for us as a messenger of God. If we want to avoid hindering other people to run the race, we ourselves need to take heed. To take heed to ourselves and also to the doctrine. Right? Continue them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So this means for us as younger generation, we have to be very well versed, right, in the Bible to know what we believe. If we truly know and divide the Word of God correctly, when we teach it to younger people, we will not cause them to, we will not hinder them. We will not cause them to stumble. We will not push them while they're running the race to the side and cause them not to finish the race. But do we really think about this? Because sometimes I heard, you know, many of us, before we teach IE classes, we just prepare the night before or that's the morning. And maybe some of us, we don't even prepare to teach the IE classes. If we do this, for sure, sooner or later, we will cause the younger generation to stumble. So we need to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine. We need to continue in them. Not only to take heed, but continue in them. Study the Word of God. And continue to divide the Word of God. So when we speak, when we teach, when we share with one another, we will not cause anybody to stumble. And this is our goal as a messenger of God. Not to hinder other people. Because if we hinder other people, the judgment that comes upon us is very strong. It's very strong. Why? Because when we hinder people, maybe first only one, two people, but on the end, we like 11, we'll leaven all the members around us. So because of this, we have to continually to be an example, not only for the younger generation, but also for the older generation. And another way is for us to continue in the Word of God. Study it, examine it, search it to see what we believe is true or not. What our faith teaches, is it according to the Bible? When we have this, then truly we can become the messenger of God and continue to encourage people and continually to be able to edify people that's around us. So may God continue to help us and guide us. Let's bow our head and pray in silence.